Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner.
Ah, yes, brothers and sisters, see his banner go. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. And today's show is for Thursday, the 23rd of March, 2017. We will be beginning in chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel and taking it from there. See how far we get today. I never can count on anything because of all the commentary I have to make in these books of prophecy. And before I get into this, I want to remind everybody that Yerfuk Radio is offering a Hebrew feast day calendar according to Enoch's solar calendar. Brother Eber of North Carolina has put this together, and it's on full-color gloss paper, very heavy construction, and it shows all the Hebrew feast days and scenes from the Bible and our Anglo-Saxon heritage. I have mine. It is absolutely marvelous. I love it. I won't get lost this year. When does this occur? Well, you just look on the calendar and it'll tell you. And if you would like one, click the donate button at the top of the EFR page and send us a donation of $20 or more to get your calendar. And please put the word calendar in your message and give us a mailing address so we can send them to you. So get your calendar in time for the new feast days, and they begin with Passover, Sunday evening, April 2nd, 2017. I will be down with the group here in Kentucky at the Passover celebration. Brother Eli is going to show up, and a whole bunch of a number of other people. We are very active here. So Yahweh bless, and thanks for your support. EFR really needs it. Everything is out of pocket, so thanks much for helping. So let's get into the book of Ezekiel. Let me get a drink of this ice water and clear my pipes, and we'll hold forth on this chapter of prophecy. Ah, yes, get those lungs working properly this morning. I always have a problem with that early. Chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel, which is Ezekiel. It's about the watchman's duty. I need to turn on another light. It's a little dark in here. Pardon me. Verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, speak to the children of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man from within their borders, 7097, and make him a watchman, 6822, yeah, I had to cough again. And watchman is Sophim. Verse 3. And if he sees the sword come upon the land, that would be invading troops, He blows the shofar, that's the ram's horn trumpet they use to sound alarm, and warns the people, and that's Zahir from Zahar. Verse 4, then whoever hears the sound of the shofar and takes no warning, if the sword comes and takes away his life, his blood shall be upon his own head. In other words, it's his own fault. He heard the sound of the shofar, but took no warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his own life. That's 4422 for deliver. That's or save. Verse 6. But if the watchman sees the sword come and does not blow the shofar, and the people are not warned, if the sword comes and takes away the life of any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, 5771. But his blood I will require, 1875, at the watchman's hand. Now here, watchman is a figurative for a prophet or a preacher of the word. It is his duty to give a warning of sin and its consequences. That's what this is all about. They're using metaphors and figures of speech as usual in all the Hebrew prophecy. And here the watchman is a prophet or a preacher. Verse 7, so you, O son of Adam, I have set as a watchman to the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. In other words, the word from his mouth will be the sounding of the shofar of warning. Verse 8, when I say to the wicked, 7563, O wicked, you shall surely die if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his ways. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I shall require at your hand. Now you have to understand here that preachers, real preachers, that are called of the Holy Spirit, don't have a choice in the matter. It's not a popular position. I well know that. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, and they are called by Yahweh to preach his word, if you do not do that and you resist, the punishment is terrible. And you just don't mess with Yahweh when he calls. You say, yes, Father, and you obey. And mankind will hate you for telling the truth. They will make fun of you. They will revile you. They will call you self-righteous. They will call you all sorts of names, because they don't want to hear the word. The word itself is offensive to a lot of people. We see that in society today. And they'd rather kill the messenger than hear the message. So being a preacher is not fun. verse 9. But if you warn the wicked of his ways to turn aside from them, if he does not turn aside from his ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your own life. So, when a preacher preaches the word, and he's preaching the true word, right straight from the scripture, not watering it down or enhancing it, just giving it straight, those that reject it have heard the word, and if they don't want to change their ways, that's on them. The preacher is absolved of any further responsibility toward those persons. Because we just can't keep going back and casting seed on stony ground where it's not going to take root. Okay, here we are in chapter 33, verse 10, and verses 10 through 20 here are a repeat of some of chapter 18. They do that a lot in the Hebrew, especially in the prophecies. They repeat things. Let me clear my pipes here. There we go. It's early in the morning and it gets a little rough with the bronchial conditions. Verse 10, therefore, O you son of Adam, speak to the house of Israel. This you have said, because our transgressions and our sins are upon us and we pine away over them, how can we live? Verse 11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, I do not have pleasure, that's 2:6:5:4, in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turns aside from his ways and lives. Turn aside. Turn aside from your evil ways. For what reasons will you die, O house of Israel? Verse 12. Therefore, you son of Adam, say to the children of your people, the righteousness, 6:6:6:6, of the righteous, 6:6:6:2, shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness, 7:5:6:4, of the wicked, 7:5:6:3, he shall not fall by it, 3:7:8:2, in the day he turns aside from his wickedness. 7:5:6:2 again. Nor shall the righteous be able to live in the day that he sins. So in other words, you have to keep on the straight and narrow path. Even the wicked can be saved if they change. But it has to be a willing change on their part. Verse 13, when I say to the righteous, you shall surely live, if he trusts upon his own righteousness and commits iniquity, all his former righteousness shall not be remembered, but for the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. See, this is pre-messianic. There was no out, but even if you come under the covenant with Yeshua Messiah, if you continue in sin, you render it null and void, and it doesn't do you any good. You're not saved. You have to change and repent and turn from wickedness. The rules haven't changed. Verse 14, again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns aside from his sins and does what is just and righteous. Verse 15. If the wicked returns the pledge, and restores what was seized by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. He's talking about the second death and the first death. Because Yahweh was killing people back then. I mean, people would just drop dead. He was present among us and walked among us and spoke to the prophets back then. He has withdrawn and is just watching now because we're still in apostasy and it seems to be getting worse. And he's watching his remnant, those of us that believe and wish to obey him, come out from among the apostates. Those that hear his voice and hear and obey the teachings of Yeshua will be saved from destruction. And all we have to do is keep our faith through the tribulation. It's going to be ugly. Nobody said that it was going to be easy. But we have to keep faith in Yahweh even when times are bad and trust him. We have been redeemed, even if we lose our life here, we will have eternal life. We're going to lose it anyway, just due to age or illness or an accident. Everybody checks out. And it's the treasures that you lay up in heaven that are important, not the stuff you accumulate here on this planet. Verse 16, none of his sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. That's about repentance. Realizing you're a sinner and confessing it to Yahweh and changing your ways to his ways. Not continuing in the ways of the world. If he does what is just and righteous, he shall surely live. Verse 17, yet the children of your people say, the way of Yahweh is not equitable. Now see, they changed Yahweh to the Lord here. Incorrect. It's Yahweh. So I have taken out the Lord and put Yahweh's name back in where the scribes removed it. The way of Yahweh is not equitable, and equitable is 8505, that's set to the standard. But as for them, their way is not equitable. Verse 18. When the righteous turns aside from righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall die of it. Spiritual death. Sometimes physical. Verse 19. But if the wicked turns aside from wickedness and does justly and righteously, he shall live by it, showing fruits worthy of repentance. Turn aside from your wicked ways and do what's right. Because you're truly sorry and you truly want to get back in the way of Yahweh, stop doing what you were doing and start doing what's right. Verse 20, yet you say, the way of Yahweh is not equitable. Again, they had the Lord here. They took the holy name out. Well, I put it back where it belongs. O house of Israel, I will judge you, each man after his ways. That's personal accountability. Not blanket coverage. He's going to examine what we do as individuals. And now we start about the news of the fall of Jerusalem. And verse 21 here, you can reference 2 Kings chapter 25, verses 3 through 10, Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 2 through 8, and 52, verses 4 through 14. Verse 21, and it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, remember Ezekiel was in captivity in Babylon, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, one that had escaped from Jerusalem came to me, saying, the city is smitten. Okay. Verse 22. Now the hand of Yahweh was upon me in the evening before the fugitive came. Fugitive is 6412 again. And had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no longer bound speechless. He couldn't speak for a long time. Yahweh opened his mouth. Verse 23, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of Adam, those that inhabit those ruins, 2723, of the lands of Israel, speak, saying, Abraham was but one, and he was given possession of the land. But we are many. The land is given us for a possession. Verse 25. Wherefore say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, you eat with the blood, and lift up your eyes toward your idols, and pour out blood, and you shall possess the land. Verse 26, you stand upon your sword, you commit abominations, and every man defiles his kinsman's wife, and you shall possess the land. Verse 27, thus shall you say to them, thus says the Lord Yahweh, as I live, surely those that are in the ruin shall fall by the sword, and he that is upon the face of the field I will give to the living creatures to be devoured, and those that are in the mountain fastness, that's 4679, that's a fort in the mountain, and in the caves, 4631, shall die of pestilence. So they're not going to possess the land. They were doing all this idolatry and fornication and adultery and everything else. No, they're not going to possess the land. Verse 28, I will make the land a devastated wasteland, and her proud might shall end. And the mountains of Israel shall be desolated so that none pass through. Verse 29. Then they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have made the land a devastated wasteland over all their abominations which they have committed. He's going to destroy the land because of their sin. Just like he's hammering America because of our sin. Verse 30. As for you, son of Adam, the children of your people still speak about you by the walls. In other words, people are talking about Ezekiel. And in the doorways of the houses, and say to one another, every man to his brother, saying, come, please, and hear what word comes forth from Yahweh. And they come to you as people coming in, and they will sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but will not do them, because by their mouth they make love songs. 5690, but their hearts go after their unjust gains. 1215. So they talk about loving Yahweh, but now they're not gonna obey. And verses 31 and 32 here. That was just verse 31 I read. You can reference Luke 6, verse 46. 32. And lo, you are to them as a love song sung by one with a beautiful voice and can play an instrument well. They hear your words, but do not do them. In other words, they think he is very entertaining. And that's it. They don't take it seriously. And like a lot of them in the Judeo-Christian churches that sit in the Amen pew, oh, they put on a good show and they're very prominent and they shout out loudly and make a big showing and then go out and where are their hearts? Verse 33. And when this comes, lo, it will come. Then they shall know that a prophet has been among them. That's all the punishments that have been prophesied. So they're going to find out that Ezekiel was not a joke. And here's chapter 34. This is about the false shepherds of Israel. Verse 1. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, prophesy against the shepherds, that would be the pastors, of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord Yahweh to the shepherds. People that pasture a flock, the rulers, people that are supposed to be taking care of the people. Thus says the Lord Yahweh to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves! Should not the shepherd tend the flocks? In other words, they're making profit off the people. Verse 3. You eat the fat, 2, 4, 5, 9, and clothe yourself with the wool, 6, 7, 8, 5. You kill the fatlings, 1, 2, 7, 7, but you do not tend the flock. Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak, nor healed the diseased, nor bound up broken limbs, nor brought back the banished, nor sought those lost, but have ruled with force and harshness. Verse 5, they are scattered because of no shepherd, and they became food to all living creatures of the field when they were scattered. Verse 5 that I just read, you can reference Numbers 27, verse 17, 1 Kings 22, verse 17, Matthew 9, verse 36, and Mark 6, verse 34. Living creatures in that passage are a figure of alien nations. Living creatures of the field, beasts of the field. They became victims of all the beasts of the field, just like we are today. The beasts of the field are killing us. Verse 6. My sheep went astray through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the land, and none searched or sought them. And went astray is 7686. That's Shagah. and that is to err religiously by pagan worship on those high places that he was talking about. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Verse 8. As I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, surely because my flock became booty, and my flock became food to every living creature of the field, again the alien nations, because of no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds feed themselves and do not tend my flock. In other words, these fake preachers that are getting rich off the people. That's today's version of these people. Verse 9. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of Yahweh. Verse 10. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I am against the shepherds, as he's against the false pastors today. I will seek my flock from their hand and make them cease from tending the flock, nor shall those shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food from them. And seek here is darash, seek with the idea of demanding. He's going to bring down these fake churches and these rich preachers that are lying to the sheep of Yahweh, the true Israelites. They're going to pay a harsh price. Verse 11, because thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I will seek my sheep and seek them out. 1, 2, 3, 9. Verse 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day he is among sheep that are scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, that's us, the remnant, and will deliver them from all places where they were scattered. 6, 2, 3, 7. In the cloudy and dark day. Verse 13. And I will bring them forth from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and pasture them upon the mountains of Israel by the streams and all inhabited places of the land. We will have a new place to live. Verse 14. I will pasture them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their abode be. There they shall lie in a good abode, and in a rich pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. That's wherever Israel is. Verse 15, I will tend my flock. I will cause them to lie down. That's in rest, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 16, I will seek what was lost and bring back the banished and will bind up broken limbs and will strengthen the weak. But I will destroy the robust and the strong. That's speaking of the former rulers who were fit and strong. I will feed them with justice. And the justice of Yahweh is going to be a terrible thing to behold. Verse 17, and you, O my flock, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between the rams and the he-goats. Verse 18, does it seem a small thing to you to have grazed up the good pastures? But must you trample with your feet the remnant of your pastures? And to have drunk of the settled water, but must you foul by trampling what is left over with your feet? Verse 19. and my flock must eat in a trampling place from your feet. And they drink that which you fouled by trampling with your feet. Verse 20. Therefore thus says the Lord Yahweh to them, Behold, I will judge between the fat sheep and between the lean sheep. And sheep is a metaphor for people, of course. Verse 21. Because you have thrust with side and shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Verse 22. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be booty, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. Verse 23. And you can reference Revelations chapter 7, verse 17. Listen to this. This is messianic prophecy. And I will set one shepherd over them to tend them, my servant David. That's one of the line of David, one of the descendants. And he shall tend them, and he shall be their shepherd. That's speaking of the Messiah. Verse 24. I, Yahweh, will be their Elohim, and my servant David a ruler among them. I, Yahweh, have spoken. And verse 24, you can reference Ezekiel 37:24. Verse 25, I will make a covenant of peace with them. The peace of the Messiah. And will cause the evil living creatures, harmful living creatures, to be put to an end from the land. You understand who he's talking about there? The enemies of true Israel. The mongrel peoples. The evil living creatures that plague us. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the forest. In other words, all our land is going to be safe. That's coming. Verse 26. And I will make them and all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in the appointed time. There shall be showers of blessing. They wrote a song about that. Showers of blessing. This is when the Messiah comes. We're going to have New Jerusalem and the hill on which Jerusalem stands will be a new hill and a new Jerusalem and a new land, and we will be renewed as a people. Verse 27, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the land shall yield its crops, and they shall be secure on their soil, and they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have broken the bar of their yoke from the usurers and delivered them from the hand of those that impose tribute upon them, the usurers. Verse 28, and they shall no more be as booty to the nations, nor shall the living creatures of the land devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall terrify them. And Yahweh's going to do this. And I shall raise up a planting place of name, and they shall no more be gathered from hunger in the land, nor bear humiliation from the nations anymore. True Israel is not going to have to suffer from the indignation of these non-Israelites. Verse 30, thus they shall know I, Yahweh, their Elohim, am with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord Yahweh. Verse 31, and you, my flock, the flock of my pasturing, are Adami, and I am your Elohim, declares the Lord Yahweh. Specifically of the race of Adam. Right there, verse 31. Can't argue with that. Sorry. Let's do chapter 35 here. And 35, 1 through 15, you can reference Isaiah 34, verses 5 through 17, and 63, verses 1 through 6. And Jeremiah 49, 7 through 22, Ezekiel 25, 12 through 14, Amos chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Obadiah, all of it, and Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. This is a proclamation against Edom, our favorite people. Let me get a hit of this water. Getting a little dry. The word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of Adam, set your face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. That's the land of Edom. Verse 3, and say to it, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you, and I will stretch out my hand against you, and I will make you a desolate wasteland. Verse 4, I will lay your cities waste, and you shall be desolate, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. You hear that, you Jews? You won't say his name and you don't worship him, but you're going to know that he's Yahweh. Verse 5, because you had a perpetual enmity and have poured out upon the children of Israel the hand of the sword in their appointed time of calamity, in the appointed time for iniquity to end. In other words, you've been killing us all these years. Verse 6, therefore, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, I will prepare for you bloodshed, and bloodshed shall pursue you, because you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed shall pursue you. Pogrom after pogrom after pogrom. Because of all the innocent blood that these Edomites have spilled over the years. Verse 7, I will make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it those who pass through and who return. Verse 8, I will fill its mountains with the slain. On your hills and in your valleys and in all your streams shall fall those slain with the sword. Over in the land of Israeli. Verse 9, and I will make you a perpetual desolation, and your city shall not abide in their place, in other words, be inhabited, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Verse 10, because you have said, these two nations and these two lands shall be mine, and we will possess them, although Yahweh was there. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord Yahweh, I will act like your anger and envy with which you acted from your hatred against them. That's against us, the true Israelites. And I shall make myself known among them when I judge you. And he is making his name known now, and we of Christian identity are spreading the word of his holy name. That's our duty. Verse 12, you shall know that I am Yahweh. I have heard all your contempt. that's or blasphemy, 5007, which you have spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid waste, they are given to us as food. Verse 13, with your mouth you have spoken great things against me. They always blaspheme Yahweh. And have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, when the whole land rejoices, I will make you a desolation. Verse 15, as you rejoiced, as the inheritance of the house of Israel became a desolation, so I will do to you. You shall be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all of Edom, all of it. And they shall know that I am Yahweh. In other words, their time of persecuting us as true Israelites is coming to a screeching halt. We can see their financial empire being decimated now. And what money they have hoarded, they are spending to promote violence against the white race, the true Israelites, kill off the white people. Because only the white people are worshiping Yahweh in truth. Only the white people are true Israel. Oh, there are others that know his name. And that is to their benefit. I'm not going to down them for that. But they cannot claim the status of Israel. They are not Israel. Anyone not of pure seed line is not Israel. And that may offend some. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is. You are born Israel or you are not. And if you mix any seed line with Israel, it is no longer Israel. Now that upsets a lot of them. Well, that's racism. Well, yes, it is. It very, very definitely is racism. Because Israel is only of one race. And that is the race of Adam. And any other race cannot claim to be Israel because they are not 100% pure Adamic seed. Sorry, those are the rules. You don't have to like the rules, but the rules are the rules. You can kick against them and whine and cry and, oh man, that's racism. Yes, the Bible is a racist book. I hate to tell you that. Well, not really. But the Bible is about one race. It's about the race of Adam. And later on about a specific subsection of that race called Israel. All of Israel is of the race of Adam, but not all of the race of Adam is Israel. Now we can intermarry with Adamic females of other people as long as they are pure Adamic. But if they have any non-Adamic mixture, we may not. And, oh, yeah, I know there's lots of little hotties out there that look real good of other races. I understand that. That's part of the seduction of the devil. Oh, they're pretty enough, but they don't have the holy seed line. They're not of the holy seed. And we are not to have any sexual relations with people outside our race. Strictly prohibited. And if you do, you commit a great sin. Again, oh, you're racist. You bet I am. Absolutely. And you should be too. You are white today because your ancestors practiced segregation. Why would you throw that away? I don't know. Seems to me that lots are doing that. They're being deceived. Again, by the media and the barrage from Hollywood and, you know, the movies and the TV. And all the nonsense that they see. And they are committing great sin. You see white women with non-whites and white men with non-whites. And they have been led to believe that they are the same. Oh, we're all the same. We all bleed red. Well, no. We're not the same. And the Bible is very specific about us not being the same. And we are not to mix. And when we do, it is a violation of Yahweh's laws. And you can whine and cry about that all you want. It's like having a glass of beer. Having a glass or two of beer is not sinful. Being a drunkard and wasting your life away by doing nothing but getting drunk on beer is sinful. You see, there's a line there. It's a fine line, but it's not invisible. There are certain ways of life that we are to follow, and when we do not, the repercussions of that are devastating. And that's not to say that some of these people of other races are not nice people. Some of them are. They're very friendly, they're helpful, they're decent folks for what they are. But don't confuse their niceness with equality. They're not the same as us, even though they are nice, some of them. We're not to mix with them. Again, you can kick against the pricks, you can whine and cry and oh this and oh that and so and so's so nice and I'm not saying that some of them are not nice. I'm fully aware that some non-whites are quite pleasant people. And you treat them in a decent manner and you treat them pleasantly. But you don't intermix with them. Doesn't say to hate all of them. You hate the evil ones. And you avoid them. But we work out in the world today, and we work, and some of the people that you work with are quite decent. Bible doesn't say just blanket hatred, but it does speak of hatred against Edom. There will always be enmity. We have to be very careful in the world today how we conduct ourselves. We cannot fall into traps laid for us by society with the propaganda that is put out. We definitely should avoid the trap of television, whether it's cable TV or otherwise broadcast TV. Broadcast TV is pretty much gone by the wayside. Cable TV has basically taken over. And if you look at the content on occasion, it's got a lot of garbage. Almost all the news sites are left. Whether you like Trump or not, he's being hit by all of them. I go and look at RT to get some world news from a different perspective, and I look at some other TV station. They're all against Trump. You have Windows 10, you get news through Microsoft, it's all against Trump. All of it. It's a concerted, combined effort. I'm not even going to call it a conspiracy. It's so blatant. It's way out there, way on the other side, not even approaching fairness. I don't really care who's the president, because all governments are going to fall when the Messiah returns. He will be king. There will be no man-made governments whatsoever on this planet when he arrives. They will all stop. And I wait for that day, and I have to plan my life around that day. I cannot get caught up in politics of men, because that is all hay and stubble and will burn up. I need to concentrate as a pastor, a preacher, on exhorting to righteousness my brothers and sisters so they join the remnant. That is the only thing that is truly important in my eyes. I cannot be bothered about Democrats and Republicans or whatever, or who said what, or this movie star doesn't like so-and-so. That's all stuff and nonsense. That's hay and stubble. It's garbage. Who cares? They don't mean anything. They're all man-made opinions. The opinion that is expressed in the scripture is the only opinion that matters. And shaping our lives around scripture is what should be most important to us at this time, not shaping our lives around the opinions of men or following the doctrines of men, but the doctrine that is in the Holy Scriptures. The straight and narrow path, not the broad one that leads to destruction. Well, I'm about out of time here. I'm coming down the end of the hour. We will pick up with chapter 36 tomorrow on Friday the 24th. Don't forget that Passover's coming up, the first part of next month. Shalom aleichem to all of you. That means peace be with you, and I will talk to you tomorrow on Friday. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.